Welcome to Perlin on ELT with Matt Perlin. You can contact Matt at info@perlintraining.com and visit the website at perlintraining.com, where you'll find all kinds of free resources for teachers and learners of English. You can follow Matt on Twitter at Perlin Training. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review for Matt on iTunes. What's on the podcast this time, Matt?
Well, we're talking about helpful notices. Helpful notices in English. Notices that give us helpful information. Now, you may have notices in your country, but are they helpful? Are they as helpful as English notices can be? And we're going to look at some notices from the UK, from England. This lesson is part of the Englishness course. It's a free online English course for intermediate and above, intermediate students and above. And you can access this course by going to classroom.google.com, and there you can enter the code. I'll give you the code. You'd have to click add and join class and enter the code KDN9F6. KDN9F6. Yeah, and I'll give you the information will be on my website, perlintraining.com. You can also contact me on Twitter at perlintraining. And also Instagram. So, yeah, it's part of this course. It's a free online course. Anybody can take the course. There are different assignments to do. This is an assignment for speaking and listening. As you can see, helpful notices. In this assignment, we're dealing with signs that have been created to give information to the general public. So these are signs. Somebody's noticed a problem, or maybe they noticed that the general public were not doing something the way they ought to be doing it, and somebody put up a sign just to give some guidance. So I'm not generally dealing with road signs or street signs, adverts, but just signs somebody thought, just need to give a bit of extra guidance to the general public. And if you go to the classroom page, if you log in, go to the assignment helpful notices, you can see there are 10 questions. This is a speaking and listening assignment. So you're supposed to do it with your partner, with your friend, with somebody that you're learning English with, maybe with your teacher, if you're a teacher, with your students. Stick it on the interactive whiteboard if you want. There are 10 questions, and you can you can go to the slideshow by clicking on one of the images below, and it will start a slideshow like so. And just go forward. And click to get out of it. And at the bottom there's a tip. If you want to see a few more, then you can go to the Google Drive page. And again, open, make a slideshow, put it on the interactive whiteboard or projector. Or your students can access it on their phones or tablets. So it's really easy to get hold of these photos. Of course, students could write the answers, they could write down their thoughts about one or more of the pictures, they could compare pictures, you know, practice for exams, if you're doing an exam, comparing pictures. Generally, the questions are like this: what message does the sign have? I'm using sign and notice really as synonyms here. What's the message? That's important. Where is the sign? Who wrote the message? And for what audience? Who is the intended audience? How does that affect the message? You know, what message you write? How does the medium of the sign affect the message? So the it goes back to the famous McLuhan quote, the medium is the message. But how does the medium, that is the way the sign has been made, the production, the design, how does that affect the message? Is the sign passive-aggressive? No, English, part of Englishness is being passive-aggressive. We don't really say exactly what we're feeling. We don't say 100% how we feel. What we mean is maybe hidden in layers of language. So there's some great examples in this. We're going to look at them. We'll see them in a minute. And other questions like that. So you could discuss them, you could write about the signs. There's a lot here you could do, you know, 90-minute lesson based on this. Compare the signs to and notices to ones in your country, in your culture. How would your culture produce this sign? How would it get across the message? In a different way, in the similar way? Yeah. And I thought in this video, which is now live streaming on YouTube, yes, thank you for watching if you're watching. Thanks for watching at home if you're watching afterwards, or wherever you are. And you're welcome. But this is also going to be a podcast, so hope you're enjoying it on the podcast. And write in, let me know how you got on with this lesson. info@perlintraining.com, yeah, is my email, or Twitter @perlintraining, Instagram as well @perlintraining. Helpful notices, so let's start and we'll get some ideas. I'm not going to go look at all of them in detail. This is the first one. And this is just from the last few weeks. I'm sure I could collect many, many more examples in the next weeks, in the weeks to come. But this is just from the last couple of weeks. I noticed this sign in the window. Bob needs a lift to the hospital once a month. Could you give Bob a lift? Call. And then the phone number. Or ring the bell for more information. Second one. Beth from Ashbourne would love someone to go out with occasionally to enjoy a cup of tea and cake. Do you like cake? You know, this is what caught my attention. This direct question. Do you like cake? So this is not a direct appeal. This is from outside. This is from the window of a volunteer agency. Volunteering group or agency. They could just write a message, please volunteer with us. But this is giving you examples of situations when you could potentially help somebody. Could you give Bob a lift? It's very hard to ignore direct questions when we read them. Do you like cake? Jumped out at me. Yes. I like cake, so I'm interested, you know, how does this, what does it mean, why is somebody asking that? So it gets my attention, so I would say this is an effective medium and message. Let's have a look at this one. This is a site safety sign. Or notice. Warning, dangerous site. So this is a really an official sign. This has been produced by government. Hard hats, boots, and high visibility waistcoats must be worn. No unauthorized access. This is in red, so red is color coded for something you mustn't do. Yellow is for warnings. We've got a triangle symbol, which means warning with exclamation mark. Blue is for information in UK signs. Green is something positive, it's something good, so that's the green is for site safety. But what's interesting in this sign is the last one. It's in red. We've got a picture of two children crossed out with a red circle with a red line through it, which means you must not do something. But what's interesting is the text, children should not play on this site, should not. So should not or must not? So why does it say should not? You know, they shouldn't. They shouldn't play on a building site, but they can. That's the implication. All visitors to this site must report. To this site must report to site of its. It uses must. No unauthorized access. It's imperative form. It's absolutely clear. But the last one is not clear. It's just like advice. You know, should is used for giving advice. Children should not play on this site. So that's one to discuss. Interesting. An interesting one. Let's have a look at this sign. This is from it's from outside of a pub, outside a bar. Students, dogs, and well-behaved owners welcome. And what I like about this is from a pub which is in a student area. So this is using humour. To appeal to students, the fact that dogs is the most prominent group because of the capital letters, it's larger print. Dogs and well-behaved owners, and somebody's written students above dogs as an almost as an afterthought, and so it's putting them students in a bracket lower than dogs. Also, this sign is a play on words, because usually you say well-behaved dogs are welcome in a pub, you know, well-behaved dogs. But here it's saying dogs and well-behaved owners. So what does it tell us about the pub? What's the message here? Maybe it's a fun place to be, it's humorous. What about the different fonts, the different styles? There's all sorts of other information here. Ale from £1.99 a pint. Dogs on leads. So somebody's added in very small font on leads, please. What is the real? What is the message here? You know, everybody's welcome in the pub. Students, non-students. Any adult can go to a pub, really. Any adult. So what's the real message here? Dogs allowed. Or well-behaved dogs. So they didn't really need to make this sign. And so we have to ask why they did that. What's the message? This is a more traditional sign that's actually from the same place, from the same pub. And it's more traditional because it's been printed, it's been produced by a printing company at some expense. It's a proper signboard. And what I like about this sign is the phrase, always a warm welcome. And we need to ask, why do they say that? Why do they have to say that? Is there any doubt that it's going to be a sort of cool reception at this pub? What would it be like if there wasn't this phrase at the bottom, always a warm welcome? The rest of the sign is giving information that is factual, objective, traditional beer, pub games, beer garden and smoking area. Always a warm welcome is very subjective. You know, if I walk in there and sit on my own in a corner, nobody speaks to me, the bar staff are a little bit cold and, you know, one's using their phone while serving me, I could go to them and say, look, all you said always a warm welcome, then I want a refund. Is it a kind of contract? Is it guaranteed? How can they guarantee this? What would it be like in your country? Would you have a sign that, you know, why do we need a sign that guaranteeing a warm welcome? There should be, you know, it's like saying tables and chairs, guaranteed, glasses and bottles. I like English signs and notices because they give us information that really it's probably not necessary to give. Somebody's gone to a lot of trouble and expense. They probably spent hundreds of pounds to make this sign, road sign. Yes, it's a road sign, but it's an unusual one. Hump, 100 yards. I mean, nowadays we don't use yards, we use meters, so I'm not sure I could tell you how far that is, 100 yards. I've got no idea. I could estimate 100 meters for you. But what is a hump? What is in the picture here? We've got the red triangle, which means a warning. So it's a warning, a hump. What is a hump? How many people do you know would know that? Any English people? There's a hump, 100 yards. Hump, of course, is a bump in the road. It's sometimes called a sleeping policeman. It means you've got to slow down. It's something for traffic calming. And you slow down, and when you drive over it, you sort of bump, your car bumps twice when your front and back wheels go over it. So there is a hump. So it's a warning, you know, it's, be careful, there's a hump. There's a hump in 100 yards. But how far is that? Where is the hump? How big is the hump? And these are things that drivers have to look out for anyway. It's like in this picture we can see there's a kind of there's cars parked on both sides of the road. So you could have a sign saying, be careful, warning, cars are parked both sides of the road. Do we need that? We can see it, but you can't see a hump until you hit it. But this is maybe a case of over signage, too much signage. It's too much, but it's a little bit what we call the nanny state. In England we have the nanny state, where we're told, given so much advice, information, as if we have a wonderful nanny watching over us, giving us guidance. This is a sign from the same area, and you can see it was an information board. Somebody's picked out the letters where it says information. Somebody's got a real grievance about this board. This is an information board, and it's it's not for everybody, this board. This board is only for certain people. Somebody's got a key, they open it, there's like a plastic window, and you can put a notice inside and lock it. And this is only for neighborhood forum and group of groups notices, so we don't know what that is. I'm not a resident in this village, but group of groups. What I like about this is that somebody, you know, we can't stick our notice on this window, because then it would cover up everything, all the official notices, right? And somebody's gone to the trouble of making a sticker, this one at the side, that's going diagonally. Please do not stick posters on this notice board window. So clearly, clearly somebody in the village has been walking around malevolently sticking their own notices on this window, and it shows the fatal flaw in this information board. That yes, you can have your notices behind a window, safe there, nobody can take them down, nobody can graffiti on them or write graffiti on them, but somebody can just stick their own poster on the top and hide all of the official notices. So this is bizarre. You know, we could write a long dissertation about this in relation to English society, life in a village. You know, it can be stifling, stultifyingly boring kind of life in an English village. You know, why do some people have the privilege of notice board and some don't? Why not have a notice board where anybody can stick their notice? That's my advice. Like the internet. Often English notices they tell you what to do, but then they also tell you the reason why we're doing it. And this is a good example. If you're listening on the podcast, I hope you're able to see this, and you know, you can follow along with the slideshow. It's in Google Classroom, or you can watch on the YouTube video, which is now streaming and recording as well. This one is from the City Council. It says, please keep dogs on a lead when close to ornamental areas and sports pitches. Okay, fair enough. You know, not all dog owners will follow this advice or follow this order. Not all dog owners are that polite. Yeah, not all, you know, some dog owners are a little bit of rebels, you know. Somebody tells them to put their dog on a lead. Oh, then I won't. You don't know my dog. My dog is very well trained, very well behaved. He won't bite you. He won't. And we often hear this kind of phrase. But then it tells us, why keep your dog on a lead? And it gives us a lot of information, you know. I think people won't read the rest of the sign, but it gives us the order and then gives us a lot of information about it. There have been a growing number of reports about out-of-control dogs causing a nuisance. Some dogs have been noted acting aggressively. So it's a lot of information here. What could be a better sign? All dogs on a lead, or must be on a lead. So why do English signs and notices give us this extra information, a reason why we have to follow? You know, if you've got a law in your country, you accept it. If it says no smoking at the railway station, then you don't need to ask why. You know why. This is a good example of a humorous sign. This always makes me laugh when I see this sign. I think a few years ago I even wrote a blog about this sign, and it's giving information. Permissive bridleway. Please walk horses /ponies for next 100 meters. Now, the number of people who are going to be in this park riding a horse or a pony is really minimal, I would say. I mean, it must be sort of 0.00001% of people, I would guess, in a year, in a normal year. But this is funny because it also comes across as an order with imperative form. Please walk horses, ponies for next 100 meters. And it's telling you you have to do it. So we could write underneath with graffiti underneath, where do I get a horse from? I will, but I haven't got a horse. So we can't follow this order because we haven't got a horse or pony. Of course, we won't write graffiti, but it's kind of humorous. And underneath, you can see somebody else has stuck their own sign about, looks like it's something about selling flowers. Oh. It's just telling you to visit the hydrangeas. So, English people love giving signs, we love giving information. We don't want to do it really to face-to-face all the time. So it's good to make a sign, put it somewhere prominent. Everybody can see it. Like this one, I visited a very, very posh sort of stately home recently, as is my wont. And somebody, a famous artist, had installed an artwork outside with stones, made in a sort of circular pattern. It's not something, not the most amazing art I've ever seen in my life. But it was outside and using flagstones. And of course the natural thing to do would be to walk around on it, you know, to follow the circles. And it's probably the first thing that children would do. And yet we see this sign, please do not walk on the artwork. I think I've never seen this sign with this wording before. If you put a painting on the floor, you wouldn't walk on it, would you? But this artwork, it seemed to be rather interactive. So I might have put my one foot on it. I can't remember. But please look at the lettering of the sign. The sign itself, what does it tell us about the place? About the, you know, the level of the place. It's got sort of a very fancy font. It's a beautiful new sign, wooden sign. Yeah, it looks like mahogany or something. It's a very special sign. So it matches the ambience of the place. Sometimes English signs and notices can be very, very conversational. Now, in this collection, we've got various signs. You know, some are just prosaic, no smoking. That's fair enough. It's against the law to smoke in these premises. Fair enough. Well, we won't do it. We know that. But somebody, probably the owner of this shop, I think it's a pharmacy, has created their own sign, printed it out, laminated it, and stuck it on the window. And we can just about read it. And it says, oh no, it's not a pharmacy. I don't know what it's selling. It says, our opening times. That's a tough one, because we work on a booking system. We don't have to set opening and closing times or days. We basically work 7 days a week by appointment. We will definitely be here Thursdays and Fridays, 10:30 a.m. and Saturdays, 10 a.m. brackets, unless otherwise stated, close brackets. So it's a lot of information. It's like a stream of consciousness from the mind of this person. Somebody sat down at a computer and made a sign, probably using Word document, and given us all this information. Oh, that's a tough one, because we work on a booking system. We don't, well, don't care about your booking system. When are you going to be open? We basically work 7 days a week by appointment. Well, how can I make an appointment? What's the phone number? Or email? We'll definitely be here Thursdays and Fridays, 10:30. Well, then just put a sign on the door, opening time, Thursdays, 10:30, Fridays, 10:30, and Saturdays at 10. And that's it. And then the last bit in brackets, unless otherwise stated, this just negates, makes negative, everything that went before. So we will definitely be here Thursdays and Fridays. Well, but we might not be. So we're not definite. So it's not definite. This actual sign is making me a bit cross. Yeah. Just amazing. What's the point of that? Just have an opening time. You know, if you're going to the bank or to the post office, you can even check on Google and see what time it's open. If that's closed when you get there, when it should be open, that is going to be rather annoying, isn't it? Yeah. So, too much information, some of the signs. Let's have a look at a few more, if we can get them. This sign was at a village hall, or community centre. Of course, there's a public toilet there, or we can go to the toilets. And this sign made me smile, because somebody's just... You've got two sinks, we've got a tap with a red top, that means hot water, and we've got a tap with blue, that means cold water. We've got soap dispenser. It's straightforward. We know what to do when we go to a sink. We know what to do generally. We're going to wash our hands. But somebody's seen fit to stick a little piece of paper, really scruffy paper with capital letters, something written in capital letters, the words hot water, and they've used a green pen, like a felt tip pen, and just think, what is the message here? Hot water. What do you expect when you switch on a tap with a red top? Cold water? And this really starts to insult our intelligence, because we think, wow, there's no need to have this sign. Then you might as well have another sign saying cold water, another sign saying soap, or another sign saying please do not press the soap dispenser too violently, or too much soap will be dispensed. This could be an English sign. I mean, do you have, in your country, do you have signs when you go to the bathroom, somebody saying hot water? Doesn't even say warning, be careful. So we have to ask, why is this sign here? And maybe that was, maybe there was an issue. Maybe somebody burned themselves or had a shock because the water was too hot. Then why is it so hot? Then surely that's an issue for a plumber, for a member of the team, you know, maintenance team, sort it out. But this is again the nannying of our people. We care for each other. You know, be careful, there's hot water here. It's like we sometimes see a sign in a bathroom, public bathroom, saying, please switch off the tap. Why do some people leave the taps on? Why do they? Who's doing that? You know, who's getting upset by hot water? English signs and notices. This one is another good example. Here we're in a church, just around about the entrance. There are some stone flagstones on the floor. There's a huge wooden chest. I don't know what's in there. Maybe many dusty old hymn books. And there are some stone steps, a couple of steps up to the next level. And somebody's put five posts joined together with a rope, with sort of I don't know if it's velvet, but a sort of rope, purple coloured or red coloured rope. And this just shows you that, you know, here there are steps here, and there is a sort of a drop, small drop, maybe less than half a metre down, but you have to walk down some steps. So it's giving you advice, because the flagstones are all the same colour. So it's fair enough. Yeah, it's a good idea to have something there so people know there is a step there. Maybe somebody fell off. Maybe they cracked their head on this huge wooden chest. We don't know why that has to be there. Maybe there was an incident. We don't know. Often these notices pop up when after a tragic or very sad incident has happened. But this sign is a good example of an English sign, because it's giving human attributes to a non-human thing, to just an inanimate object. And it says, "Warning, I am not a handrail." And it's attached to this one of these posts. And "not" is capital letters. "Warning" is in red, capital letters, with exclamation mark. I'm sure it looks like an exclamation mark. "I am not a handrail." So somebody in this church has given this piece of wood a human quality. I mean, there's a lot of things wrong with this here. First of all, this is something jokey. I'm not a handrail. What if you can't read that? You know, the person who's going to fall down here and hit the head on this chest is probably an elderly person, and maybe they can't read this text. Maybe they don't understand why the post has a human quality and is speaking to them. "I am not a handrail." It's very bizarre. Why has somebody put this? So yeah, if you fall down and you try to grab one of these posts, it's going to come with you. It's not protecting anybody. It's just a visual thing. But the people who need this help maybe can't see very well. Why not just drill some holes into the floor and put a proper handrail there? "I am not a handrail." Well, okay, but then what are you doing there? Why are you speaking to me if you're not real? So if you fell over there and you took it to court and they said, "Oh, there was a sign there. It said, I'm not a handrail." Then I don't know what the judge would say. But it looks, it gives a visual indicator, but it looks a highly dangerous situation there. So that's a good example of an English sign which uses "I." And we sometimes see that. We sometimes see that. This is my, we see that when somebody gives a human property to something inanimate. This is probably my favourite. I think we're going to have to finish in a minute. This is probably my favourite sign. I was on a bus, and looking at the signs because I was actively looking for signs for this project. Conversational signs, signs that give too much information, signs which are not really necessary. And this is a sticker that was on every window in the bus. You know, the windows at the top of the bus, the side windows. And this is hard to read this. I'm sure it's impossible to read it on the video, but it says the air conditioning works much better when these windows are kept closed. Thanks for your help. And then the bus company name. The air conditioning works much better when these windows are kept closed. Now, what's the message here? What is the message in this notice? Keep windows closed. Close the windows. Windows must be kept closed. And if that was the notice, then I wouldn't open the window. I wouldn't. Maybe somebody else would, a rebel. Somebody, a rebel without a cause, maybe. But I wouldn't open the window. If it says keep windows closed, I will keep closed. I wouldn't understand why, but I would do it. That's the kind of person I am. But this gives us information about why the windows must be kept closed. The air conditioning works much better. Yeah, of course it does. So we know that from our limited knowledge of air conditioning in this country, in the UK, in England. We know that we shouldn't have the windows open. So that's clear. But what a passive-aggressive kind of notice. It doesn't tell you to do anything. It doesn't tell you to close the windows, keep them closed. It's not an order. It's just information. Yeah. It's like saying, oh, the bus works much better when it's got a full tank of petrol. Well, okay, but what do you want me to do about it? So we have to read this and understand the information and take on board that this is an order, this is something that we're not allowed to open these windows, and we shouldn't. And so we have to get it, we understand it implicitly from this kind of passive-aggressive statement. Would you? How does it work in your country? Would you get it? Yeah. What else? Maybe let's have this one more. I mean, you can see the way I travel. You can see the way I roll. It's by bus in this area. And this is from a bus timetable. And there's a picture of a man, a human, a person with his hand sticking out, this big smile on his face. He doesn't appear to have any neck or any sort of neck, but he's wearing a tie, a purple tie. Maybe it's a UKIP supporter or member. And he's got his arm stuck out in a gesture. The other hand, his arm is sort of waving or pointing. I don't know what it's doing. It says, Alfie says, if you want the bus to stop, clearly put out your arm so our drivers can see you. It's too much information. Who needs this information? If you want the bus to stop, clearly put out your arm. Not vaguely put out your arm, or just put out your arm a little. You know, how far out should we put our arm so our drivers can see you? And this is another example of too much information. So why somebody thought this was necessary? This is like making us into children. This is giving us... Then you might say, okay, I've done that, the bus stopped, then what should I do now? Then we need another sign that says, when the bus stops, please clearly get on the bus. Yeah, okay, I've done that. So then what? When you've got on the bus, please clearly give your money to the driver. But how much money? So we could have a sign or notice for every step of our day. And my... After you've finished your breakfast, please put all your breakfast dishes and plates and cups into the dishwasher and close the door. Okay, and now what? So we could have these signs all through the day. This is an example of Englishness. Helpful notices. Compare them with notices in your country. These sort of signs make me smile. They're humorous. Sometimes they're intended to be humorous. Sometimes not. You know, this is not a handrail. Then what is it? I am not a handrail. Well, yeah, but somebody should install a handrail there. So this is for you to look at. Go to the Google Classroom and log in. The password is KDN, small letters, KDN 9F6, all small letters. And you can see this assignment. Discuss it with your friend or enemy or somebody that you tolerate. Merely tolerate, and let me know how it goes, or just use the pictures from Google Drive. There are a few more in there. I'm going to add more, but in the classroom there are only 20. In Google Drive, I added one from yesterday. I went to visit a place, and in the car park there's a sign saying, an official looking sign, and it says, no parking, capital letters, reserved for ice cream van. And we've got a wonderful mix or juxtaposition of things, you know, the official sign, no parking, reserved. Like, you must not park here. This is not for you. It's somebody more important will park here. And this must be kept clear at all times for a VIP or somebody official. Somebody much more important than you are. No, for ice cream van. For ice cream. And you could imagine a different way to write this message. You know, this should have a fun sign with the ice cream van, a picture of an ice cream van, and it's saying the words, hey, I park here. Or, hey, this is my parking place. And smiling picture of an ice cream van and an ice cream person inside, waving. Good, so I think this is a lot of fun. Helpful notices. Are your notices this helpful in your country? In my country, they're very helpful and give us a lot of extra information that we don't need, or it's too much. Too much information. Hot water. Okay. So I think that's enough. I could keep going for a few more hours on this topic, but I think we better stop. So thanks for watching, or thanks for listening. Have a look at the link. Click the link for Google Drive and see all the pictures. Go to the classroom and do it. Log in is classroom.google.com. Join class and enter the code KDN9F6. Or you can contact me at Perlin Training on Twitter. on Instagram. And visit my site, perlintraining.com, and you'll see all of the other things there, which are all free to get involved with, download, see, learn about, and do. So, thanks very much for watching and listening, and see you in the next time. Bye for now.
Perlin on ELT.